With Valentine's Day just 17 days away, it's a perfect time to begin a new sermon series on the topic of love. That's what I want to do today. A little boy wrote a note to a little girl in his class, and he said this, "Dear Wendy, I like you so much. I didn't want to tell you because you will hit me just like you hit me last time. I will take care of you. I will buy you whatever you want, even 100 pairs of shoes. Love, Julian." Well, how many of you love the Beatles and remember their hit song, All You Need Is Love? Everybody remembers that. Well, after recording it back in 1967, it became number one in Britain, number one in the United States, and number one in several other countries. Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote it as a way of sending a message around the world that everyone would understand, the message of love. It ranks 21st on the list of, on the list of 100 greatest Beatles songs. excuse me. And it helped present a message of love and peace at a time in the world when tensions were high because of the Cold War. Now, in our passage from Matthew this morning, we see Jesus presenting the message of love also at a time when tensions were high. The Jews did not like the Romans. The taxes were high and oppressive. There were riots and rebellions that occurred all the time. And out of this chaos, this chaotic time, this unknown carpenter emerged from this insignificant little village called Nazareth. And he began preaching that all you need is love. It was a message that was needed back then. It's even more needed today. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs. Help us to understand the power of your love in our lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 22 is full of religious leaders who have evil intents, who are trying to trap and trick and deceive Jesus. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll find the Pharisees approaching Jesus, and they ask him a question. Is it okay to give taxes to Caesar? It was a trick question. If Jesus said yes, then he would have been saying that Caesar was greater than Almighty God and he could have been declared a heretic. If he said no, he would have been going against the laws of Rome and could have been charged with possible rebellion. So what did he do? He did something that was quite brilliant. He lifted up a Roman coin and he asked those Pharisees, "What image is on this coin?" And they said, "Well, Caesar, of course." And then he said, "Well, then give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but be sure you also give unto God what belongs to God." It was a brilliant response. And all the Pharisees could do was slither away. So then, later in the chapter, the Sadducees decided to try to trap Jesus, and they brought up a question about marriage in heaven. And Jesus laughed at them and said, "Well, obviously you don't understand the Scriptures. Otherwise you wouldn't have asked that, because the Scriptures clearly say that people will neither marry or be given in marriage in heaven, but they will be like the angels." What did the Sadducees do? They too just slithered away. And so finally we get to our passage this morning where the Pharisees come before Jesus again, trying to catch him, to trip him up, trying to discredit him. And they bring one of their teachers of the law, an expert of the law, and he asked Jesus this question, "What is the most important commandment?" Now that was a difficult question because there were 613 commandments in the law of Moses. And regardless of which commandment Jesus chose, he was going to offend numerous people. It was a serious trap. So what did Jesus do? He summarized the entire list of 613 commandments into two simple statements. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two simple statements that no one could argue against. And again, the Pharisees just slithered away. Now, I would imagine most of you have never heard the name of A.W. Pink before. Now, Matt has heard of him before, but most of you, I would imagine, have never heard of that name. He was not well known when he lived in the first part of the 20th century, but he was a prolific writer. He was a reformed theologian and author, and what he wrote had a tremendous impact and influence on Christians throughout the second half of the 20th century. One of the things he wrote about was love. Listen to what he said. "I am not by nature an emotional man, but there is something about the love of God that raises passions from deep within my soul. I cannot conceive of one so loving that he would leave the glories of heaven, walk in my shoes for 30 years, and then die for me. I cannot imagine a being so merciful. There is no force on earth, no tragedy from the past, and no sin in your life that can take away the sweetness of his love or the joy of his fellowship. The love of God is a treasure beyond price for those who know him." What he was saying is that the love of God is where we must begin if we want to understand how to truly love. Now, the Pharisees did not obey God because they loved him. The Pharisees obeyed God instead of loving him. Now, that's a confusing, two confusing statements. Let me say it again. The Pharisees did not obey God because they loved God. They obeyed God instead of loving God. What does that mean? It means that they were more interested in following their ritualistic and legalistic rules and regulations and doing just the bare minimum to get by and satisfy the law of God. They were more interested in that than in truly loving God from the depths of their heart. I mentioned Richard Halverson, Dr. Richard Halverson, several times in the past. He's a Presbyterian pastor who was the chaplain of the United States Senate from 1981 to 1994. Brilliant individual. He once said this about love. "There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, and perfect." What does that say? It says that true love always wants to give more and do more because God always wants to give more and do more for us. Love is not about giving in order to get something. Love is always about giving in order to grant something, some special blessing or service or sacrifice that will benefit others. In his book, The Christian Leader, Don Rosloff tells a story, a World War II story, about a prisoner of war camp controlled by the Japanese, and there were a lot of Scottish soldiers that were there. And they were working on the railroad tracks that went through the jungle, and the conditions were harsh and difficult, and the POW prisoners were malnourished, and they were skin and bone. They were struggling and suffering. Now, one occasion, while they were working, a shovel went missing. And the Japanese officer became angry and demanded that they produce that shovel or else. And the soldiers just stood there, didn't say a word, didn't do anything. And then the Japanese officer pulled his pistol out of his holster. He pointed it at the group and he said, "If you don't produce that shovel, I'm going to shoot all of you." And then all of a sudden, one Scottish soldier stepped forward. The Japanese officer put his gun back in his holster. He walked over to that young man. He bent down, picked up a shovel, and he beat him to death. The other Scottish soldiers picked up his bloody body and took him back to the camp, and it was soon discovered that there had not been a missing shovel. The Japanese had miscounted, had counted incorrectly. All of the shovels were accounted for, and suddenly all of the POWs in that camp realized that that soldier stepped forward knowing that, willing to sacrifice his life to save all of his brothers. When the Allies came and liberated that camp, they discovered that this spirit of love and peace and sacrifice and harmony existed among all of those POWs. And they lined up their Japanese captors. They assumed that they might want to curse them or hit them or hurt them or do something to get back at them. But no, they didn't do any of that. One of them stepped forward and he said this, "No more hatred. No more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness and love." That is the kind of sacrificial love that God demonstrated for all of us by sending Jesus into the world. In order for us to understand how to love our neighbors, we have to understand this awesome and amazing love of God. And in order to understand how to love God, we have to understand our awesome responsibility to love our neighbors as ourselves. The two go hand in hand. In his poem, John Oxenham once penned this, "Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give." It was 8:30 in the morning and an older gentleman in his 80s went to the hospital to have some stitches removed from his thumb. He went up to the nurse's desk and he said, "I need to have these stitches taken out, but I have another appointment at 9 o'clock. Can you do it quickly?" And the nurse realized that it was going to take probably over an hour to get him set up in a room and arranged to do that. But she realized she didn't have much else to do, so she said, "Well, come on over here. It's going to take a long time, but I'll do it for you. Come over here to this room here." Took him in there, and she began to clip the stitches and pull them out one by one. And she asked him, she said, "Well, what is this other appointment you have at 9 o'clock? Are you meeting with a doctor?" And he said, "No, I have an appointment with my wife to have breakfast with her at the nursing home. I meet with her every morning at 9 o'clock to have breakfast." And the nurse said, "Oh, that's so special. I like that. That's wonderful. Is your wife in good health?" And he said, "Well, she's been in the Alzheimer's unit for quite some time." "Oh, okay. Well, will she be upset with you if you get there a few minutes late?" And he said, "No, ma'am, she won't be upset with me because she has not recognized me or known me for the last 5 years." And the nurse looked at him with a puzzled look and said, "Why then do you always have breakfast with her every day at 9 o'clock if she doesn't recognize you?" she was pulling out the last stitch, and she wrapped his thumb with a Band-Aid. He looked at her, and he patted her on the hand, and he said, "Honey, she may not know me, she may not remember me, but I know her." And then he turned and walked out. The nurse had tears welling up in her eyes, and she thought to herself, "I want to have that kind of Christ-like love in my life." All you need is love. A love for God that comes from the depths of your heart and your soul and your mind. And a love for your neighbor that comes from the depths of your willingness to sacrificially give and give and keep on giving. All you need is love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.